far is it to 6-9 swing, man? You can shoot the 3.
Urban Meyer, liar. Don't believe a word he said.
Look at you go. Look at that. It's like seeing a kid ride a bike.
And I'm going to law school, baby. It all starts here.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2009. I'm Adam Berry, the assistant sports editor and softball beat writer for Alligator Sports, once again podcasting from Oklahoma City in the luxurious Quality Inn Hotel. And joining me as always,
Kyle Maestri, football beat writer and columnist.
And a special guest, our very first special guest here on the Alligator Sports Podcast from the Gator Radio Network is Adam Schick, the voice of Florida softball.
Thank you very much for the outstanding introduction.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. It's our first guest, and we figured no one more qualified to talk about Florida softball than Adam Schick, and maybe us, I guess. So.
Yeah.
All right, so the Florida Gators played a game tonight. They dropped it 8-0 to Washington on the first game, the championship series of the Women's College World Series. Kyle, break it down for us. Tell us what happened.
It's hard to really describe what happened if you weren't there. Washington won 8-0, and it was just a brutal performance all the way around for the Gators. Stacy did not look like herself in the circle today. She didn't dominate the way that she usually does. Laurie, however, did for Washington. She struck out 12 batters, held them to 2 hits, and really just shut down the offense the whole night. One thing that I think was notable from today's game was that 5 Gators went down looking today, which I thought was a bad sign for the offense. I said yesterday I'd like for them to be a little bit more patient early in the at-bats, but there's no reason to stand up there and take 3 pitches and go walk back to the dugout like a couple of the hitters did today. But the defense let them down a little bit. They had a couple key errors, and really I've watched the team play, you know, for 2 years now, and I've never seen them play that bad on all sides of the ball. And the 8 runs that Washington scored is the most that UF has let up since March 3rd, 2007, when UCLA beat them 10-2, and that was a completely different team and kind of a different era here, yeah, you know, in Gainesville. So, I mean, it was shocking to say the least. Nobody expected this kind of performance.
Yeah. All right, Adam, give us your perspective from what you saw from the team tonight.
Well, it was just obviously very surprising and very disappointing, at least from a standpoint of the team and the people associated with the team, just because, you know, you obviously come to expect something, and for something like that to happen that's so unexpected is just, it's shell-shocked was the word to describe how I felt immediately after, and I feel like how the majority of the team and the people around the team felt. And, you know, it's just one of those things, and you talk a lot about, and Tim Walton talks a lot about, the fact this team has been tested. They've been in every kind of situation, but they've never been in a situation like this, and I don't think anyone could have expected this. I mean, if I ran through before the game 100 different ways this game could have gone, this would not have been on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. But you have the advantage of having seen this team already play Washington. You know, they've already played them. They lost 1-0. Daniel Laurie was outstanding in that game. What was similar and what was different between that performance and this one? Obviously, the bats were better for Washington, but you know, break down Florida's at-bats and Laurie's pitching in comparison to that.
Well, yeah, you know, a difference also that kind of doesn't go on paper, but back then, that was on February, I don't remember the date, but it was in February 19th or 20th, and they didn't have Jen Salling yet. She joined the team really late. She's only been with the team for about a month. She's, of course, the player that had the 2-run single and the accompanying 2-run error. So you just talk about little things. I mean, that's a team that just really, they do a lot of little things. They put the ball in play, which obviously, when you have a field like that, where obviously the way it's been playing is that it's allowing a lot of infield hits. It's a hard surface. I mean, initially, Missouri's coach was upset about it after their first game, said, you know, it really is good for the slappers and bad for the fielders, just because the ball is just, you know, just bounces so high that if you put a ball in play, even what should be a ground out, it's going to be a base hit. So when you look at a team like Washington that puts it in play, it makes it really difficult. Now, they didn't really do that when the Gators played them the first time, because they, you know, Stacy Nelson was very, very sharp. It really was battle of two aces. The only reason that game ever ended was because the regular season tiebreak rule was, at least in that tournament, once you started extra innings, each team started with the runner on second base, which, I mean, I think that's a terrible rule. Why, when you've played 7 innings and both teams have worked so hard to keep its scores, why just totally change the nature of the game like that? Because obviously everyone bunts for the first batter, yeah, and it's just a matter of who can get a fly ball first. But it was very similar, at least from the Gators' perspective, because they were just completely baffled by Danielle Lurie. And I don't know what it is about her. I've tried. I asked some of the players. They just said that she has pitches they've never seen before. I know specifically she throws this backdoor curve that is just a foreign type thing. And I can't tell you why Georgia was able to score 11 or scratch that 12 runs off her in two games yesterday. I can't tell you why Georgia was able to do that. Florida clearly a superior team to Georgia, at least from the numbers, and yet just not the same results. It's really hard to figure out.
Yeah, a couple things of what Adam said, definitely true. You saw the slap hitting and as far as how the field's playing, Ashley Charter is their leadoff hitter, first-team All-American leadoff hitter, had two infield singles in her first two at-bats on plays where, you know, she just was too fast for the defense. It was a clean fielded ball and a good throw to first, but still couldn't get her. She later hit the ball over the fence, but the first two times she got on base, she used the infield single. And as far as Lurie having that backdoor curve, I mean, she made Francesca Anaya really look bad today on a couple pitches where Franny was kind of diving out of the way on a pitch that she thought was going to be much more inside, and it was called for a strike. So, I mean, she's really throwing some stuff that I guess they don't see a lot. And I wanted to ask you, Adam, too, because you were here last year, so was I. How would you compare the mood between this game, and they have to win two now in order to win the championship, and when they lost to Lafayette last year in the first game, and it seemed all doom and gloom also at that point?
Well, I think one of the things about last year that made it even tougher was that you lost, and then you had to take that day off. When all they wanted to do, especially after a 3-2, an extra inning loss like that, all they wanted to do was get back out and try and prove, you know, why they were there. And eventually they did come Saturday. But there was just a lot of time to sit around and think about what didn't go right. Mm-hmm. In this situation, I think it's similar just because shock is the same word that comes to mind, obviously for very different reasons. It was shocking to lose it all to Lafayette, very shocking for what happened tonight. But I think that in this case, maybe you're better off that you get to come back and play tomorrow night, and you know what you're going to see. Part of what was tricky when you lose to Lafayette in that situation, you don't know what's going to happen. You have to wait to see things shake out, and then you know you have to win all of these games just to get in a position to play for a title. They're still playing for a title, given it's an uphill battle now, but you're still in the championship series, and you know it's a series for a reason. You know that you have to play three games, and that's obviously the positive spin on it is that they have to come back out. But you know, you hope that, you know, right now, you know, I know for a fact the coaches are breaking down film. They are doing everything they can to figure out how to beat this team. The question is, can they do it? You know, you just wonder. When you've seen them, and the way I've seen them two times out, I worry about Danielle Lurie and the way she pitches, just really seeming to get the Gators, you know. But again, they'll all have their third, fourth, fifth looks against her tomorrow, and you know we'll see what adjustments they can make. That's the reason that Alabama is so successful against Stacey Nelson. They said it, she said it. They've seen her, and you see the results when you've seen someone. This will be the third time Florida's seen Lurie, and maybe third time's the charm. I hate to use a cliche, but you know, you never know.
That's what I was going to ask. What adjustments do they make, especially hitting wise? You know, the defense, you know, you just hope that you don't make those errors in the next game. But hitting wise, what adjustments do they make against Lurie going into the second game tonight?
Well, I would like to see them try to use their speed a little bit more. I don't think they tried to bunt for a hit today once, and they have some fast hitters in that lineup. I'd like to see Christina Hilberth try to lay one down, Kim try to lay one down. Moultrie got a hit today, but if she's in the lineup tomorrow for TD, I'd like to see her try to lay a bunt down because you're going to have to manufacture runs against her. You can't just sit there and hope for a three-run home run. You're going to have to move runners over. You're going to have to steal some bases. I think the more speed he can get in the lineup tomorrow, the better. So I'd like to see them try to do that. And the other thing is you got to protect the plate with two strikes. I mean, it's one thing for you to stand in there, take a pitch that you feel a little bit off the plate when there's no strikes on you or there's one strike on you. But the amount of hitters that just walked up to the plate, took the third strike, and walked back to the dugout today was really shocking to me. I mean, just get the bat off your shoulders. They're all really good hitters, and there's no reason for them to be taking pitches that are even close with two strikes, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Adam, what do you think they need to do in the lineup at the plate?
Well, you know, I think the big thing is they have to stop, and not necessarily their thickness, but again, you're not going to go out and do what George did to Lurie. You can just tell it's just not going to happen. What you have to do is, first of all, Stacey Nelson has got to be sharp. Yeah. She's got to be the Stacey Nelson that we saw on Thursday and Friday. But also, as far as at the plate, again, I like what Kyle said. You've got to wreak some havoc. You have to force them to make some plays. You have to put the ball in play to begin with. And, you know, part of what made it tricky, for a pitcher like Danielle Lowry, she, again, she's fantastic. She's great. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. But she was given a very liberal strike zone tonight. And you could say Stacey Nelson had the same one. But for Lowry, the way that she works east and west, especially on that outside part of the plate, when she's getting those calls, it makes it really, really tough to hit her. But at the same time, we knew from the outset, watching the first inning, she was going to get those calls. So the Gators are going to have to come in, and you have to adjust your strike zone. You have to recognize the strike zone isn't necessarily what you're used to seeing. It's what's being called. Mm. And especially when she's trying to work it as east and west as she does, you really have to go. You can't watch anything thinking that's outside. You know, usually it's a team that works a lot of walks. You got to just protect. You have to foul pitches off, follow the TD model, as I like to say. You just keep looking, force her to throw you something hittable, but don't expect to get calls, because at this point, you're just not going to get that.
Right, and it goes both ways with the strike zone, too. I mean, I know there are a lot of like Gator fans, Gator people afterwards who were kind of saying some stuff about the strike zone, but when Lowry played against Georgia, the strike zone worked against her in those games. So it's right. It's just a matter of who's behind the dish wearing the blue that day. Like, they're just going to have a different strike zone from umpire to umpire. Ideally, everyone would have the exact same strike zone. That's just not how softball works. It's not how baseball works. And, you know, Lowry was real frustrated after she walked in the winning run against Georgia. You could see with the zone, she wasn't happy about the calls she was getting. So, you know, today it worked for her. Tomorrow it might work against her. You never really know. But, Adam's 100% right. And anyone who knows anything can see that Stacey Nelson's got to be really good for them to win and almost perfect. She's got to bring her A game. They can't let up more than one or two runs, I feel like, tomorrow and hope to win the game.
I was going to ask, does it have to be like a 1-0 or a 2-1 game for Florida to win this? What do we think about that?
I mean, you can't follow the Georgia model and try to win 9-8. It's got to be – I think Stacey's got to be lights out tomorrow.
I think Lowry had one bad day, and it was against the Bulldogs. I mean, I think that Stacey has to be great, and, you know, it's a lot to ask to be perfect, but at this point in the year facing competition like this, and it's just, you know, it's not just Lowry. I mean, the numbers bear it out. You have them right here, Adam. I mean, the Gators in the World Series, they're just not hitting. And, every run they've scored has been off of a homer. And at this point, when you're playing competition like this, it's just hard to sustain that way. They've got and Tim Walton said after the game, he said, we have to start manufacturing runs. The problem is they're not playing like that. They're not doing the little things. That's what's made them so successful. They've got to get back to doing little things. They have to get runners in motion, do some things, do some hit and runs, steal some bases. You got to mix it up a little bit, because obviously trying to play it straight up against Danielle Lowry, it just doesn't seem like it's going to work.
Yeah, they're sort of playing with that home run swing mentality, like, oh, you know, we can get up there and hit any ball over the fence, and we put some runs on the board, and we're ahead right there. But you look at the numbers, Asia Pakuba, the leadoff hitter, has one hit. Tiffany DeFelice, who's been batting in the two-hole, has none. She's 0 for 8. Francesca Ney is 2 for 10. She's been batting pretty well, you know, all things considered for this team. You know, like tonight, she obviously was not, you know, not her usual self. Would we change anything in that lineup as far as that? We've talked about Tiffany DeFelice maybe not being the best fit in that two-hole, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us agree on this. And I was genuinely surprised that he didn't make the move already. Mm-hmm. And I'd be even more surprised if he didn't make the move in the next game. You got to get some more speed at the top of the lineup in the two-hole. TD's there because of her on-base percentage. She gets on base, she works walks. But today she just took some strikes and walked back to the dugout. I mean, I'm a huge TD fan. I think she's a great player, and I think it's a shame she was clearly hampered this season by an injury. Yeah. But you got to get her out of the two hole. She's not fast enough to challenge the defense in that way. She can, you know, she's got some power, but as we're saying, you know, it's negated by the way Lowry pitches. So I would like for him to move Hilberth up there and get her some swings, or even Kim, somebody who can, if Asia gets on, bunt, and not only to sacrifice the runner, but to potentially, you know, for a hit as well. So I think he's got to get some speed at the top of the lineup, or straight up, you know, sit DeFelice tomorrow and play Moultrie and see what she can do to the defense.
That's what I was going to say. I think Moultrie needs to be in the lineup. She's so fast. She can do a lot of different things. You know, she can steal a base. How many bases have they stolen here in the World Series so far?
I'm not sure if they've stolen any bases.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I think they've tried a couple.
Yeah.
But I mean, to steal bases, you have to have runners on. And they haven't. The runners that have been on have been rounding the bases in slow motion, you know? So
right.
I think today, what I saw tonight was almost open tryouts at the end of the game. Cisco got in at bat, Moultrie got in at bat, and Moultrie came up with a hit.
Yeah.
And she, you know what, she battled after falling behind too. So I really think that you need to get her in there, if for no other reason. And when Moultrie swings away, she's got some surprising power. You wouldn't know it. She's kind of like Kim. She's got some pop. But I would have her up there, and I really think she needs to be up there and bunting and getting the ball into play. Get your fast runners up there with a chance to do something and push the defense. Make them make a play, because that's what they did to the Gators tonight, and that's how they ended up winning the game. I mean, they didn't hit very many balls hard. When the game was still close, they hit one ball hard. Okay, that was the single up the middle that led to the two runs, which eventually became, snowballed.
Yeah.
But, they weren't hitting Stacey Nelson hard. They were just putting the ball in play. And the Gators, again, I'm not sure that they're necessarily in a home run mentality. That seems to be that's the feeling right now.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that against a pitcher like this, it might happen once. What happened to George, forget that ever happened, because that was just a really strange day that you probably isn't going to happen again. So I think, you really have to get the speed in there, get Moultrie, and have DeFelice ready if you need a bunt, if you need something, because that she's by far the best bunter on the team. But you got to get some speed in there and give Lori and Washington a different look than you gave them tonight.
Yeah, the home run thing is backed up, like you said before, by the fact that all of their runs have come off home runs. So, that's in their head. That's what got them to this point, I guess. But really what got them there this season was being able to do so many different things. Like, you don't win 63 games, just hitting home runs. So, they need to get that back in their head. They have to do a bunch of different things to win, especially against a pitcher like Lori. And I do have the stolen base number, by the way. It's 0-for-1.
Yeah.
Attempted to steal one
the
base.
The one, I remember Lauren Heil got caught stealing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it right there. What are some of the other numbers from, what's Washington
at? Let's look at Washington is 4-for-5 on stolen bases. I mean, then again, you look at Washington's numbers offensively as a whole, they're absurd.
Right.
Morgan Stewart is batting .556. She has 10 hits. I mean, this team is playing really good offensive ball right now, and that's terrifying with a pitcher like Lori in the
circle.
Right, because if they can hold teams down and put up a bunch of runs, I mean, can Florida beat them tonight?
Yeah, Stacey's just got to, bring her A game. If Stacey holds them to one run, that's giving them a chance to win. You can't win if you don't score any runs. So I'm not going to say Stacey has to shut them out, but they got to come up with a run here and there against Lori, and they got to make Washington play some defense. But the thing I wrote my column on after the game, I want you guys to take on this, because this was me cranking one out. I stand by what I say, and to me, this is true, but I want to know what you guys have to say. After that four-run play where Christina threw the ball into center field, the whole team just looked extremely deflated to me, to the point where I've never seen them that deflated and that down. And after the game, when we got to the press conference and I asked a couple questions Stacey's way, the second question when she answered me, she looked like on the verge of tears almost. Like, she looked way more upset and weighed down by her performance than I've ever seen. And, given they've lost games, but maybe she hasn't pitched that bad as a result.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, the attitude is not like I've ever seen with this team. Even when they lose, they're still upbeat and they still have a ton of confidence that they're just going to come back and win, and it doesn't matter. I did not get that vibe at all. I got a lot of soul-searching vibe from them, and it's a little bit alarming if you're a Gators fan, I felt like.
I'll agree to that. I think it was very like you said, soul-searching. They didn't know where to go from this, because obviously, like we said before, they've never been beat this bad in the last 2 years. Most of this team doesn't know what it's like to lose, period. They've lost 9 games now in 2 years, but, much less get beat by, 8 runs, what should have been a run rule, you could say. I don't know, Adam, what do you think about the team's mentality?
I think that they're in a situation that's very foreign, and you could see that just from the looks on their face, the way they reacted. And you could see also that Tim Walton knew that, and there was a bunch of times when he went out into the circle to talk to his team where not usually times he would go out there. Clearly, he saw body language, he saw little things. And after that error, it was clear that they never recovered from that.
Yeah. Right.
Because, again, something like that has never happened to this team. I mean, it just totally threw everything into a fit.
And if you think about that play, one thing about Stacey that makes her great, and I know she's cut down on her walks and her hit-by-pitches this year, she's become more accurate. But even last year when she was so great, she allowed a lot of base runners. And it's not like girls don't get on base off of her. but she never gives up that big hit, I feel like. She always bears down when there's runners on, and nobody ever gets that big hit. So that play that broke their back, it was bases loaded. Stacy gives up a hard hit with the bases loaded, which never happens. And then Christina Hilberth, who's your best defensive player and somebody we always, you know, we always applaud her defense, comment on how great it is, she straight up throws a ball as bad as you can do it to second base to let two more runs score. So it wasn't a situation where, you know, Megan Bush booted a ball at shortstop. It's like, okay, well, Megan's not the greatest fielder. It was a pitcher who never gives up a big hit, giving up a big hit, and then your best defensive player making a defensive mistake. And I think that kind of shocked them a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was, you know, it's like we've said, a lot shocking in that situation. Do we feel like in any way, because Walton said the team didn't come out with a whole lot of energy or whatever, do we feel like that was at all impacted by the really emotional night before, you know, with the grand slam sending them into this game?
I mean, I absolutely feel that was a factor because, you know, you just look at the team and that's the natural celebration when something like that happens. I myself was a little out of sorts. That's another story, though. That's another story. But, you know, it was almost the celebration. It felt like you just won a championship, but it wasn't. It was the right to play for one. And just the feeling was so just elated, and you looked at the team and you looked, you know, I mean, that was, and it's something that people were calling, if, you know, the talk around the Sheraton downtown was that was the, you know, one of the top five plays, top five moments in Gator sports history. We're talking about everything. This is people who've been around. I'm not talking about necessarily softball people. I'm talking about people who have been around this program for a long time. So that's a top five moment in history.
Wow.
But, you know, unfortunately, it didn't come in the final game. So you had all this emotion, but you still had to come out and play. And so, you know, it just seemed like there was kind of this attitude. I don't want to say attitude, but maybe just a feeling that after that, that things would just fall into place. But, you know, when you're playing at this level, and Tim Walton said it, if you checked out his Twitter, which I love, by the way, he said, I think I'm not exact sure what the quote was, but it was something along the lines of, no disrespect to the other 60 teams we played this year, but we're about to face the best one tonight. They know how good Washington is. But even when you know how good they are, it's still, when you got someone like that in the circle, I mean, I could tell you, when we were out in California, they took a lot of extra time looking at video of Lori. And basically that was something that they knew that she was, that was the big, big part of that trip, was seeing her and seeing how they fared. And so you can see now, second time out with the same results, there is something she does that just really, really fools them. And I'm just not sure how, like, what tape will do to change that. Maybe just more looks. It might just be that.
Right. I think you're definitely right about from the emotional standpoint and what the Grand Slam did yesterday. But, you know, if you kind of look at this team the last couple of years, they're doing a lot of stuff that the program's never done in history. So last year, you know, when they win a Super Regional and they go to the College World Series, and that was their goal the whole season, you see the emotion afterwards. They're really excited. They've accomplished something at that point. And, like, there's kind of the expression goes, like, act like you've been there before.
Right.
So when you haven't been there before, you act like you haven't been there before,
yeah.
Which is kind of what we've seen from this team a little bit. But this year, you know, when they win the Super Regional and you're expecting, you know, a team to go nuts, they kind of forced it, I thought. It was like that team knew, like, we didn't accomplish anything yet. We still have unfinished business.
Yeah, it's like, let's do a dog pile at home plate and get Adam Schick wet with water.
Exactly. But I didn't
a lot of water.
But if we were, you know, given it on the scale of 1 to 10, that was, you know, a 5 compared to last year's 9.5 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so this year I felt like you get Alabama in the semifinals and you hit a grand slam off of them. And you kind of have, like, right there, and it's going to happen organically one way or the other, but there's a decision that where it's either going to go, we're going to act like we've been there before, or we're going to act like we just really accomplished what we want to accomplish. And they kind of went the latter way. It wasn't, I mean, given it was a huge hit, it was an emotional hit, but it, like Adam said, it was like they had already won at that point. And I would have liked to seen them say, you know, yeah, that was great, but we got more stuff to do tomorrow, and this hit doesn't mean anything unless we win the next couple games.
You mentioned acting like you've been there before, though, but with that hit, they went somewhere that they'd never been before.
I understand. Yeah, I completely understand that. But at the same time, their goal isn't just to make it to the championship series.
Yeah.
It's to win the whole thing. They came close last year, so, I mean, I think that's I don't know, that's how I felt about it.
It's like I'm saying, though, that organic thing you mentioned, that organic reaction, like it sort of takes over. And it's like, oh, hey, we're going to the championship series. This is new. And, you know, we're going to walk off Grand Slam or whatever, you know, in this situation.
See, I think there's a difference between being at the Women's College World Series and being in the championship series. That's why it just seemed like maybe there was all of a sudden a lack of experience at that level. That's been a big thing for this team, was that the experience of being here last year was going to change result, and it did to get to this point. Now you're at a point where you've never been. And that's the kind of thing where, at least early on, some of the little things that happened, I mean, you don't know what to chalk it up to. Are nerves the reason that Stacy wasn't Stacy? You know, there's no way to know for sure, but certainly a different stage when you know everything that's at stake and you just accomplished something outstanding the night before. Just emotionally, you guys understand that. You know, right. Everybody's felt something like that.
Absolutely.
And just that the fallout, like, you know, it's a totally different situation to be coming off of such a high. I really think that played a real factor in why they seem flat coming out.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You know, Walt Noah says that this team has been through everything. You know, they've been in every situation. I would argue that, you know, they hadn't been in that situation. They hadn't just, you know, ever come off of that emotional high into such a big series, you know, where they had to play at such a high level.
Right.
But they needed somebody, I feel like, on the team to focus them and let them know, like, this is nice, but this isn't it. And I don't think anyone really did that for them, because I was trying, you know, the column I wrote was mostly about the emotions of today's game. And I was trying to, you know, I was thinking all these things, like, okay, they haven't been there before, so maybe that's the reason. But Washington hasn't been there before either. Washington's been to the College World Series with Laurie. They've never been in a championship series. They've never won a national championship either. But Laurie, she's played in the Olympics. She's beaten Team USA, which is, you know, very impressive. Not too many pitchers get to say that. No. She's a winner, and that's ingrained in her. And if you watched how she dealt with Georgia, while Georgia's, you know, going nuts on every strike the pitcher throws, she was just really locked in and focused on, you know, on just hitting the stepping stone to what she wants to accomplish. And I feel like she was just a calming presence, and she's a winner even if she hasn't won it yet. And I would have liked, you know, from the Gators' perspective, if one of them could have been that type of person. And I don't know if they are that type of people. They get real excited, and that's cool. That's fine if that's who you are. But I think somebody for the next two games, and they can still win this thing, needs to focus them and let them know, like, guys, this is, you know, we got something to prove here.
Absolutely. You mentioned Laura, you know, being sort of cool. Even after she walked in that winning run, like we talked about before, you know, she showed a little bit of anger at the umps, you know, not getting the strike call if she wanted or whatever. And she walked off the field, came back on, and won the next game. And, like, that's absolutely how the Gators need to bounce back tomorrow night if they're hoping to get out of this thing with the national championship, which, like you said, has been their goal this whole year. They didn't play this season just to get here. Like, Adam, you followed this team all year. Is leaving with anything less than a national championship a disappointment in some level?
Yeah, I would say that's the word they would use. And, you know, it really seems like you really have to just regather the troops in a way. You know, I mean, again, this has never happened. But something else that hasn't happened to this team in the last 2 years that I've been following with them is that they've never lost back-to-back games. So, you know, you consider that. And, again, the circumstances aren't great, but you kind of have to forget about that. You can't remember. The only thing you want to remember about last night, if you're the Gators, are the pitches you saw and try and figure out what she's going to do. But, you know, from a standpoint of where the team is at, they really just have to go in like it's game one, and they need to win two games. You know, they're going in to play a two-game series. Right. That's really the only way you can look at it after what happened. But the key is that they can't come out scared. They have to come out, and obviously there's a bunch of different ways to look at it. Corey Brooks said after the game, we need to be swinging at more first pitches. And then Tim Walton quickly said, well, no, not necessarily, because then she'll start throwing bad pitches for the first ball. Yeah. So I think each hitter has to go up there and really, really focus. I mean, maybe like they've never focused before. We're talking about really, it seems like another level of pitcher. It seems like Danielle Laurie is, you know, while she's a first team All-American, she's not American, she's Canadian. First team All-American, though, along with Stacy and Kelsey Dunn, like we've seen what the Gators did against Kelsey Dunn. This is clearly a different level. Yeah. She is just incredibly effective, efficient, and the Gators are going to have to try something new. What that is for sure, we don't know.
Because unlike Kelsey Dunn, they can't just try to hit grand slams.
That's right. That's right.
an Adam Schick, that is, because
yeah,
both of you are.
This
Adams.
Has potential
this
to be
is very
confusing.
By the way.
I'm going to go Schick from now on, and Adam Berry will stay as Adam. So, for you viewers out there, that's how we'll do the rest of this podcast.
I was here first.
But Schick made some very good points, though, about the way your mindset has to change. I mean, it's hard to put something like this behind you because you got embarrassed. You didn't lose. I wrote this also. You didn't lose 1-0. It's one thing to lose 1-0, 2-1, where you tip your hat to the pitcher and say, that was a good job. This is, you know, 20 players watch their leader get, you know, something done to her that hasn't been done in the 2 years that I've watched the team and the 3 years that she's been an All-American pitcher for them. And that's winning 2 games in a row is not hard for this team. They've won 29 in a row coming into this
right.
game.
Yeah.
It's not like it's impossible for them to win 2 games in a row against a good team. Adam talked about the success they have against Kelsey Dunn. They pretty much own Kelsey Dunn, who's, you know, considered a really good pitcher. So they can hit good pitching. I just think that the mindset needs to change. And I'm going to throw something out there that I really don't want to, but I feel like it's fair and we should talk about it. Stacy Nelson is one of the best athletes I've ever been around from a media perspective and from a personal perspective as far as who she is. She's incredibly nice. She's incredibly composed. And honestly, she has a great sense of where softball ranks priority-wise in her life, in the world, you know, just how much you should put into a sport like this.
Yeah.
But I don't think she has that extra gear of nastiness. We talked about this with Calathes a little bit. Does he have it? I think she needs to find some pride tomorrow and say that, like, look, I'm Stacy Nelson. I'm a great pitcher. This isn't happening to me again. And if she comes out there and hits the first batter, like, do something like that. I mean, you don't want to put charters on base, so I don't want to take crap for that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, come out there and just say, like, look, I'm good in my own right, too. I'm sick of hearing about Danielle Laurie. Like, let's stay focused. And maybe it's, you know, softball's a different kind of game, but maybe it's not all high fives and glove slapping, you know? Like, let's really get focused and get down to it and hit that extra gear.
I mean, we've talked about before, you know, and I've written about it, definitely Stacy sort of having that killer instinct, you know, where she can come in there and she can shut down games. But I'm kind of going to agree with you here. Like, maybe she doesn't have that nasty streak, like you said, because she is such a nice person and that's who she is. You know, she realizes, like, you know, if they lose a softball game, it's not going to be the end of the world. But for her team to come out of here with a national championship, she is going to have to treat it like it's the biggest thing in the world for a couple of days here.
Yeah, someone asked me the question earlier today when I was doing something for radio. You guys love Ray. It was part of the brethren of dying media.
Yeah.
I was doing a radio thing and someone said, they said, do you think the fact that Laurie basically beat Nelson for player of the year will factor in? Will she be thinking about that, trying to prove something? I said, you know what? That's just not the type of person or player that Stacy Nelson is.
Right.
Her only goal, and she'll say it, and it's the truth if you ask her, you know, on camera, off camera, her goal is to be a senior on this team and lead them to a national championship. Mm-hmm. And something that, you know, in the context of that, maybe that means getting that in your head a little bit. I recognize what you guys are saying, and it's hard to change someone's mentality. But, yeah, you know, pride is a word people throw around a lot. But it's one of those things that really shocked me tonight because I expected Stacy to be lights out after what happened against Alabama. So back-to-back performances like that are so shocking. They're so completely out of the trend, out of any kind of pattern, that it just makes you wonder what's going to happen. There's a big question mark on tomorrow night. And at the same token, maybe Danielle Laurie isn't as great as you. I mean, it's just one of those things we talked about a lot on the air during our broadcast, was how do you put your finger on that thing? You know what I mean? Like, how do you explain Washington playing 2 games yesterday, one of them 4 hours long, the longest 4 hours of my life, if I may say.
Yeah.
How do you explain that, all of those pitches, and then she comes out and she's as sharp as she's ever been? How do you explain that? And you can't.
No.
You wake up onto, you know, I don't know if it's the side of the bed you wake up on, but there's just something about each individual inside of them that affects the way they come out. And you just have to hope, if you're a Gator fan, that Stacy Nelson wakes up tomorrow and has that it, you know, that,
yeah,
that it that you can't define, but that makes her Stacy Nelson.
Yeah, we've had the conversation, Kyle and I have, about, you know, will Stacy be motivated by not getting player of the year? You personally didn't think she would, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, was Lowry perhaps motivated by the fact that people have been talking about Stacey as, you know, best pitcher in the country? Like, I've read that, you know, in several places where, you know, they say Stacey's the best and then Lowry comes out there. Maybe she's got something more to prove that she can be the number one team.
I don't know about that, but, I mean, if you're a Gators fan, you want to hope that this game has the same effect on Stacey that I think kind of the Georgia games had on Lowry, which is, I'm Danielle Lowry. This does not happen to me. I'm going to go shut you out the next day. Like, even Danielle had a bad game, but she just came out and was herself again, and she clicked the switch. She said, okay, this isn't happening again. It, for her, it wasn't soul-searching. It wasn't like, could this happen to me again? Is this possible that this is who I am? This is my ceiling. This, you know, it was like, no, of course I'm going to go out. I'm going to dominate tomorrow.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I kind of saw it in Stacey's eyes. It looked like, I'm being honest, just from my opinion, she didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. She didn't know for sure that she was going to come out and blank Washington tomorrow. And she needs to find that confidence, you know, before 8 p.m., you know, Eastern time tomorrow, because that's going to be very important for her to bounce back and do something great. And this, and you know, for the record, this does not happen to Stacey Nelson. She's the most consistently dominant athlete I've watched at UF, and that includes Tim Tebow. From pitch to pitch and from inning to inning, from game to game, she's more consistently dominant than Tebow is from throw to throw, from quarter to quarter, and from game to game. She just goes out there and she wins games. That's what she does. And she needs to remember that, and she needs to have confidence in herself, and her teammates need to build her up and say, we're going to score some friggin' runs for you today also, because that's going to make her life a whole lot easier if all the pressure doesn't fall on her shoulders.
The thing is that she does have that pride. She does have, you know, that sort of motivation in her, because we've seen it, Adam, twice this season. You know, once where she came out and she said, like, to the crowd, like, this is where we get it back. This is where we score runs. We will win this game right here. And then another time when she promised us in a press conference, like, I'm going to give up fewer hits. I'm going to strike out more people.
That was after Texas A&M where she had 7 hits. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So she does have this in her. But the question I guess we're dealing with right now is, does she have this in her right now for tomorrow?
Now, you know, Stacey Nelson, even though doesn't appear outwardly, is an incredible competitor. And almost to some degree, it seems like when there's runners on base, she almost likes that because it's more of a challenge, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, when you're at this stage, that's not a good thing, because as we've seen all year, over your entire career, we've seen Stacey Nelson with 2 runners on, with the bases loaded, somehow get out of it. When you're at this stage, one bounce, when that happens in a situation like that, and the whole game changes. It's what we saw today. It's what we saw against Alabama. A little bloop did it out to left. When there's runners on base, that is when trouble happens. Even for Stacey Nelson, who we know she's not invincible. I think a lot of people thought she was. Sometimes when I'm sitting there calling strikeout after strikeout, I think that's the case, but it just isn't the case. And that's why just the key tomorrow is for her to be dominant, not sharp, dominant. Runners cannot get on base because Washington moves them over. They run a lot. They do those little things to try and manufacture runs. And the way things are going for the Gators offensively right now, they're not going to score a lot of runs probably. So they've just got to limit the base runners and keep those potential situations from happening.
And one of the ways they need to limit the base runners is the defense needs to be sharper behind her, because there were some, you know, we talked about the errors, but there were also some infield hits or infield fielder's choices that should have been called hits that, you know, they should have made plays on, and they need to be better about that. And I got to thinking about that too. It's like, how many times can she just Houdini her way out of her team's mistakes? It's like, at some point, it would be nice for them to just pick her up and just coast. Like, they play Cal in the Super Regionals, and she's got to win 2 games, 2-1 and 2-0 to move on. She comes here, and she blanks Arizona, the best offense in the nation. She blanks Michigan, and they move on. They picked her up in the Alabama game, which, you know, they've been able to do against Alabama with the Grand Slam, and they scored 6 runs. But, I mean, it would be great for this team, the rest of them, to put up 4 or 5 runs and play some solid defense. And it's not out of the question to ask a team like Florida, who has a great offense and who has good athletes that can make plays on defense. And, you know, and I think if that were to happen and that's the way everyone comes out tomorrow, they could, you know, win this thing as a team. And, you know, I feel bad for Stacey that she's done it. You know, she's been the stabilizing factor for the team for years. And, you know, it's kind of melting down around her right now. And it'd be nice to see her teammates pick her up.
One of the things that Allie mentioned in the post game yesterday was that she said, I was so happy for the number of times my teammates have picked me up this year to finally be able to do it. That's the mentality everybody needs to have right now. Everybody's thinking, what can I do to help Stacy Nelson? You know, what can I do to help this team, whatever it may be? Because the thing about the way this offense has gone is, the funny thing is, things were going so well. SECs, regionals, they were scoring runs, and they were putting up a four. If they didn't put up a four spot or five spot, it was something strange.
Yeah.
And they were scoring a ton of runs through Texas A&M, Florida A&M, Lehigh. They were just, and then all of a sudden the Cal thing came around, and the whole screwy situation with playing at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, you know, and all of that waiting, it just seemed to throw them out of rhythm, and they haven't been able to get back into it. And you just wonder, and you know what? At this point, they're probably not going to get back into it. There's not enough time or games left to get into a rhythm. Just get a few runs here or there and see if you can get back to playing the Gator softball that got you to where you are right now.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I wanted to talk about, we haven't talked about this before, but Walton said, you know, in the off-day media thing, that for this team to lose two games in a row, they're going to have to beat themselves. First of all, that happened tonight with the Airs, right? Is that a fair assessment?
No. I mean, they scored no runs, so I'd say Daniel Horry effectively beat them. But, I mean, they scored a few runs on themselves as well. You know, I mean, the 8-0 is not indicative of just Washington. You know, that could have easily been a 2-0 game or a 3-0 game, and then things got out of hand. But, I mean, I agree with what Walton said, that that's probably going to be the case. But if Laurie shuts them out again tomorrow and they lose 2-0, 3-0, I'd say she beat them on her own, you know? So I think Walton may have been a little bit wrong in that scenario.
But I was trying to talk about those, you know, like the Airs, like we said, the Air kind of came out of the tires a little bit, like in that sense, they beat themselves. They took away their own energy. They killed their own momentum with their own mistakes. And in that sense, I think he was correct. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, you could definitely make that point because, you know, if Christina makes a good throw to second base, that's probably an out. She made the right decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a 2-0 game instead of a 4-0 game. So when you trot back to the dugout, you're saying, all right, so we got to score 2 runs to push this game further, not 4, which is, you know, far more daunting for them. So, yeah, I mean, you could make that argument, but I just think Laurie was too good. You got to give her a lot of credit for just shutting down the team. But, I mean, they got, you know, they just need to reach down deep and find something, because it's entirely possible for them to still win this. They just need to believe that they can.
All right, absolutely. Anything else we got to talk about here with the softball, the Oklahoma City experience?
Well, yeah, I don't want to get into that. but Oklahoma City Zoo, by the way, if anyone ever comes out, the giraffe, the one giraffe,
single,
it was Noah's Ark divided by two, one of everything. It was outstanding, though. Very good, solid one animals. One alligator, which I thought was, I don't know if that was a good sign or not, but in any case. No, you know, I think the main point,
I was going to make an independent alligator joke.
Oh, no,
there.
I don't. That was an accident, I promise. But I think the key with this team, and you look top to bottom, this is a team and a program that has a lot of pride. You guys use that word. And Tim Walton, of all people, has a lot of pride. And I doubt that he and his staff will sleep tonight. Honestly, I really doubt. I think they're going to be up watching tape all night, because that is how determined they are. And that is how hard they've worked to get here. They are going to do everything within their power to change this result. And, you know, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow night to find out if it works or not. But again, this is a team that just had a 29-game winning streak snap, that's lost 9 games in the last 2 years. And they've beaten it. And it's also, you have to recognize, they've played a very national schedule. Their record against ranked opponents is unbelievable. I mean, they have beaten great teams. They don't just play, you know, non-conference SEC basketball schedules and rack up all their wins. So they've done it. They've beaten great pitchers. They've beaten great teams. And I think that with their backs up against the wall and a chance to prove that they are a great team, that they'll come out differently. At least that's the hope, and that's what you would expect.
Yeah, 2 things on that. Yeah, they've certainly beaten great teams and great pitchers. You go back to last year while they were here, they beat UCLA, the most storied program in softball history. They beat Angela Tincher, you know, the player of the year and the best pitcher from last year. So they're capable of doing this kind of stuff. And the other thing is that we need to talk about, I think, before we shut it down, is they need to win with this senior class, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, if
yeah.
you look at the players that are going to be walking out the door, it's not a situation like Mary Ratliff was a great player, and I'm not trying to take anything away from her. But replacing one Mary Ratliff is doable if you're trying to win a championship. And she'll tell you the same thing. So, you know, she makes fun of her. She downplays herself too much, you know.
She joked to me that Kelsey Bruda should have started.
Right. Instead of her last yeah. And the beginning of this year, you know, she said they didn't lose anything. They lost a mediocre right fielder, which is not true.
No,
but,
not at all.
But if you look at what they're losing now, they're losing Stacy Nelson, who's irreplaceable. Mm. They're losing Kim Wallazonia. They're losing Allie Gardner. There are some players that are extremely hard to replace. They're losing Christina Hilbert.
The heart and soul of the team.
They're turning over. They will be a different team next year. They're not going to be the same team coming back like they were this year. And, I mean, you don't get too many teams like this to try to win a championship with. And I think they can still be competitive with Brownbacher in the circle and the next wave of players coming through. They can still try to win a title. But it is important for them, I think, to try to win with this class because you just don't know when you're going to be in this position again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can say all the people they're going to have coming in, but this is a special group of people, you know, and people and players in this class that they can't replace. And I would hope that the team realizes, like, this is our chance. We might come back to the College World Series next year, but, you know, we will never have, most likely never have as good of a chance to win as this.
You know, we talk a lot, at least recently, about these kind of special athletes, special players, and for people who've been at the University of Florida during this time like we have, or people just outsider fans, you know, think about the last 3-4 years. At one time, you've had Stacy Nelson, you've had Tim Tebow, you've had the 04s basketball, and these are some of the best athletes in their respective sports of all time, all at the same school at the same time. And this is that level for people that maybe aren't that familiar with softball. That's what Stacy Nelson is. Stacy Nelson is number 6 on the all-time wins list in NCAA softball. I mean, this is a player who you're not going to replace. Mm. As good as Stephanie Brownbacher can be for you, Stacy Nelson is one of those all-time greats. And so the feeling really is that you need to win now because who knows when it'll come again. But more importantly, this is a senior class that has put this program on the map and really, really deserves and feels like it deserves a national championship. They just have to go out there and prove it.
Absolutely. Do we have anything else here? Any more surprise topics?
No, I think we pretty much covered all the softball, you know, we can handle. But one thing I do want to say is, you know, what do we think is going to happen? We talked about all the things that could happen. Adam maybe a little bit restricted in what he can and can't say here because, you know, he works for the Gator Network, but, you know, Adam Berry, what do you think? And, you know, I'll say what I think here.
I think they'll come out and win this one tonight, I guess, by the time this podcast comes out. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think Stacy finds, you know, she finds, you know, her old style. She finds, you know, herself, if you will, if you're going with the whole soul-searching thing. She comes out. Maybe she gives up 2 runs or whatever. But I think, like you said, they're watching tape. You know, hopefully the batters, you know, and for their sake, are, you know, watching film or thinking about what they've seen out there. They come out, they manufacture runs, you know, they mess with the lineup a little bit. They put up 4 runs. They win like a 4-2 game against Washington this time.
So. All right. So since my guarantee from a while ago has now died where mm-hmm. I said they'd run the table in the postseason and win a championship.
Really? You didn't think they'd lose a single game?
I said they'd run the table wow. and win at, yeah. for the postseason, and yeah. I was almost right, but not quite.
I was quite wrong in my most recent game guarantee. Last night I said that they would, you know, they'd win, they'd sweep Washington, right. And they came out tonight and lost.
All right, so I'm going to go, this whole World Series has been a little bit weird. Some weird stuff has happened. So I'm just going to throw something off the wall out there. I say Florida scores a bunch of runs off Laurie tomorrow. I think they score on her early, so maybe one or two runs early, so Stacy relaxes a little bit out there. She pitches a better game, and you know maybe they win a 6-2 game or a 6-1 game. So that's my prediction. And then as far as the series, I don't know how to call that third game because I said to Adam when we were leaving the field, I was like, all right, well, if they win the next one, they'll have the momentum. They'll finish it off the win. But that's what I said against Texas A&M last year, too, where they had to beat Texas A&M twice. And I said, all right, if they win the first one against Texas A&M, no doubt they have the momentum, they'll win, they'll go into the championship series. And that's not what happened. So I don't want to get burned on the same call twice. So the third game, I'm going to say Washington just does it. I think beating Laurie twice in a row, like beating Stacy Nelson twice in a row, is very hard. And I think neither feat will happen. So the Gators will win, and then Laurie will win, and Washington's going to win a title.
Laurie has been beaten twice this year, once by Stanford, who had a really good run early in the season. You know, they had a really good team or whatever. So, you know, it's if Florida can replicate that feat, basically, will determine if they can win the championship, they pull out game 2.
I can't tell you what's going to – I'll tell you what needs to happen. For the Gators to not say what needs to happen. They're going to be the visiting team tomorrow night because it's game two. They need to come out right out of the gate, and Asia Pakul needs to get on base. They need to sacrifice her over and see if they can get a base hit from maybe a Nae Mabru. They cannot come out and go down in order like they did today. If Danielle Laurie gets ahead of steam, we've seen what she can do. The Gators have to wreak some havoc right off the top of the game and put doubt in Washington's mind, right. Put doubt in Laurie's mind, because she has dominated this team so thoroughly. They have to give her a reason to think otherwise, and that's why I really think that first inning, even the second inning, are going to be so, so crucial for the Gators tonight.
Absolutely, and you look at what happened in the first inning of today's game. In the top of the first, it was that error by Allie Gardner, right, the fielding error, and that right. You know, that didn't, you know, we talk about the Christina Hilbert throw taking the air out of the tires. That, you know, to me, you know, represented how little energy they had out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you looked at the start of the game, it was Allie dropping a ball, and when they hit, you know, she struck out the side. Laurie struck out the side, and Pat Dooley said in postgame, so I don't know if this stat is true, but if it wasn't one pitch, it was two. She struck out the side the first inning, and the Gators swung the bat one time with their top three hitters. I don't know if that was exactly true. I can guarantee you DeFelice looked at three and walked back into the dugout, and I think Franny looked at three and walked back too. So I think it's possible. I mean, there were some balls mixed in there too. It wasn't nine straight strikes and then done, but they did not swing the bat in the first inning, and it was just like, all right, Laurie, gain some confidence, find the strike zone, see what works for you. We'll see you in the second inning. And, you know, like Schick said, that can't happen. They're going to have to get some momentum going early.
Absolutely. All right, so watch out for that game. It'll be on ESPN2 at 8 Eastern Time, 7 Central Time, if we have any Central Time listeners.
And?
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And on WRUF AM 850, if you're in Gainesville, or GatorZone.com, that's a plug right there, guys.
Yeah, well done. I'll tell you what, watch it on ESPN, turn down the volume, listen to Adam Schick.
That is the Gator broad. That's the Gator way to do it. You put the ESPN on. If you have a DVR helps, you sync it up, because I think there's a delay. I wouldn't know. I've never done it myself because I'm usually on the air. But I can tell you, this is what a lot of people, and the same thing people do for football games. Treat it like a football. If you treat it like a big event, if you will it to happen, Gator fans, it will happen. It's like Slumdog Millionaire. Miracles happen.
And you wanna plug Cheap Seats that you have going on too? Or
I'll plug Cheap Seats.
Where else can people find you?
Not during the summer. I'll be up in Atlanta this summer, but you know, all summer long and all during the fall. You know, after you check out the Alligator Sports Podcast, you can get some more.
Sure they are.
You can get some more sports talk. Your fix from 2 to 4. Tuesday through Friday on the Cheap Seats, also on AM 850 WRUF. We talk about all this same great stuff. But we should do a collaboration, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We should do, I don't know, some kind of, you know, you scratch my back and I'll kick yours.
Radio and newspapers aren't doing as hot as they have. Television's taken over. We need to start a coalition here.
Let's pool our energies together and still be beaten handily by television.
It's a coalition of the willing, coalition of the dying. Either way, we all get together, you know, we all go down in the same sinking ship together. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great we had you as our first guest on this show. Kyle promised John Kruk. It did not work out. We didn't have the cheeseburger.
I didn't have enough cheeseburgers to lure him back into the Quality Inn. So.
No, wait, this is... I'm a second Trump. I'm a fallback. I can't believe I didn't know this. You guys, this is a ruse. You guys got me in here under false pretenses, man.
Yeah, we couldn't lure back John Kruk with cheeseburgers. We got Adam Schick with Taco Bell.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you try Taco Bell on the Krucker?
Right? I mean, with my natural aversion to Taco Bell, that wasn't our first option. We had to give you the choice here. So, all right, yeah, check out Adam Schick on all the stuff he just mentioned there. Send any feedback on this podcast to sports@alligator.org. Comment on our blogs and listen back.
And if you're watching, if you're listening and you're not in Gainesville right now, check out our coverage on, you know, alligator.org/sports. Check out all the stuff Adam and I have been writing. We're working hard up here. Go on and read some stuff that we're putting up on the web. It's good coverage. If you like this, you know, if you like this podcast, you like the coverage, make sure you check that stuff out. Leave some comments. We're always begging for feedback. So, you know, let us know you're breathing out there.
All right, absolutely. And check back tomorrow night. We'll have one after tomorrow night's game, no matter what happens. It could be either a wrap-up or, you know, we're still in Oklahoma City for one more day.
And Schick, you're more than welcome to join us again if you want to. Yeah.
If for some reason the news is not good tomorrow night, I will miraculously have disappeared.
I mean, you're always welcome. Kyle and I are tired of staring at each other, sitting around this table.
Yeah, if the team loses tomorrow, what's your exit strategy? Like, how do you get out of here? Are you, like, on a plane, you're done, like, you're out?
I'm getting picked up by a private jet.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not sure. See, here's the way we have to think of it, us Gator people, you know. It's that we're not leaving Wednesday. We're leaving Thursday.
It's like when the team booked the flight
Monday. We're leaving Thursday. We're leaving after we come back and win two games. Again, I can't say exactly how it's going to happen. But, you know, just Slumdog Millionaire won the Oscar of Best Picture. There you go.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Right.
And what was it? Twilight won the MTV Movie Award over everything.
Don't get me started on that. Speaking of, did you guys see the Eminem Bruno fiasco on there?
No.
You didn't see that?
No. We've been locked up in the quality just sleeping until 4
a.m.
That's
what the internet's for. You guys have to dress that.
I did check out. I went on. There were some statuses about the MTV Movie Awards. So I went on and I checked out MTV.com and I looked for some stuff. And all the nominations were like Twilight and High School Musical and just all this crap that, like, I'm not interested in. I mean, they're really pigeonholing their audience to like 15-year-old girls, and I don't quite fall in that range, so I don't know. It just didn't.
Quite.
I didn't feel compelled to go check out the other stuff.
Where's the gray area there with part, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll leave that up to the imagination for you guys out there. But, you know, I was just disappointed. They had the requisite, like, you know, slapstick comedian stuff. You know, Jim Carrey took home something. Ben Stiller took home something, whatever it was. But really, they're not putting any good movies. Like, when Slumdog Millionaire can't beat out Twilight, like, there's a problem.
I mean, The Dark Knight was up for some stuff.
Yeah, The Dark Knight couldn't take home an award.
Twilight beat, I think, The Dark Knight. And I'm not a big Slumdog Millionaire fan, but it beat Slumdog Millionaire 2 and Twilight. I don't know. But the girls were going crazy. That's all I know. But no, the big thing that happened, we would be remiss not to cover them.
Yeah, go ahead.
Eminem was sitting there, and Bruno, who is the new Sacha Baron Cohen character,
if you're
familiar with the Ali G show, you know him. Mm-hmm. And not anything to do with Ali Gardner. This is the Ali G.
not the feature I wrote at the beginning.
Exactly. This is, I think that was the title.
The Ali G show,
I remember these things. But he came in soaring over the crowd with angel wings as his character Bruno, and then he fell out of the sky, landed on top of Eminem, and had his backside in Eminem's face about 10 seconds before it got broken up. And turns out it was all a planned stunt, and both sides knew about it.
Wow.
Who would have thunk
it? I can't believe it.
It's like Madonna spontaneously kissed Britney Spears 4 years ago.
At an award show.
An MTV show. No.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. All right, well, now that we've got our requisite MTV talk in here, I feel like we've fulfilled a quota. We've gotten everything in here. That about wraps it up for tonight's show. Like we said, check back tomorrow night. We may or may not have Adam Schick. We may or may not have John Kruk. We're working on our cheeseburger budget here.
And we may or may not have a Wednesday podcast from here as well. So.
Well, either way, we're going to, because we're going to either do it after a game or we're going to do it back in the Toyota Echo.
All right, we'll do another one from the road. So look forward to that.
Absolutely. All right, and thanks for listening.